All right, a lot of reading today. And for me, it's been affirmed through the music that this is the right thing to do. So hopefully it will seem to you it was the right thing to do as well. And Isaac, is it possible to cue up again sometime that Here I Am to Worship video? Okay, if you could do that, I think we might utilize that in a while. I'm going to read to you from John 21. Never wanting us to get away from the Easter message, but wanting us to afterglow a little bit longer following the Easter season. We thought about the words that Christ gave with the Great Commission as he was leaving, trying to instruct people what to do. And I believe there's instruction here at the end of the book of John, as well as Christ talking to the disciples, which is talking to us. So reading from the scripture. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Well, yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Well, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return..." Some versions give it a little harsher there, and they finish up with, "What is it to you?" And I want you to think about that as we proceed through this message and proceed through our days. You know, what is it to us? What is it to us that Christ died? What is it to us that God blesses other people? What is it to us that God gave his life for others? What is it to us that he gave himself for us? At Honey Creek, New Providence, they presently have a sign out front. I believe it's still up. The message just that he loves each one of us like there is only one of us. Okay? He loves each of us like there is only one of us. So, we got to remember, he loves us dearly, but he also loves everyone else. So this story, and perhaps it's one that you're acquainted with already. If so, refresh yourselves in the message. If not, hopefully it will bring some new light into what it cost Christ, what it cost him to deliver me from my sins and to deliver others from their sins. That's about donuts, so I'm always interested. This is a story, okay? This is a story. This is not from some real situation, but it's a good story, and so I like it. There was a certain professor of religion named Dr. Christensen, a studious man who taught at a small college in the western United States. Dr. Christensen taught the very required survey course in Christianity at his particular institution. Every student was required to take this course his or her freshman year, regardless of his or her major. Although Dr. Christensen tried hard to communicate the essence of the gospel in his class, he found that most of his students looked upon the course as nothing but required drudgery. Despite the best efforts, most students refused to take Christianity seriously. Well, this year, Dr. Christensen had a special student named Steve. Steve was only a freshman, but was studying with the intent of going on to seminary for the ministry. Steve was popular. He was well-liked and was an imposing physical specimen. He was now the starting center on the school football team and was the best student in the professor's class. So one day, Dr. Christensen asked Steve to stay after class so he could talk with him. "How many push-ups can you do?" Well, Steve said, "I do about 200 every night." 200? "That's pretty good, Steve," Dr. Christensen said. "Do you think you could do 300? Steve replied, "I don't know. I've never done 300 at a time." "Do you think you could?" asked Dr. Christensen. "Well, I can try." "Well, can you do 300 in sets of 10? 300 in sets of 10. I have a class project in mind, and I need you to do about 300 push-ups in sets of 10 for this to work. Can you do it? I need you to tell me you can do it," said the professor. Steve said, "Well, yeah, I think I can. Yeah, I can do it." So Dr. Christensen said, "Good. I need you to do this on Friday, and let me explain what I have in mind." So Friday came, and Steve got to class early and sat in the front of the room. When class started, the professor pulled out a big box of donuts. No, these weren't the normal kind of donuts. They were the extra fancy big kind, with cream centers and frosting swirls. Everyone was pretty excited. It was Friday, the last class of the day, and they were going to get an early start on the weekend with a party at Dr. Christensen's class. Well, Dr. Christensen went to the first girl in the front row and asked, "Cynthia, do you want to have one of these donuts?" Cynthia said, "Yes." And Dr. Christensen then turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Cynthia can have a donut?" "Sure." Steve jumped down from his desk to do a quick 10. Then Steve again sat in his desk, and Dr. Christensen put a donut on Cynthia's desk. Dr. Christensen then went to Joe, the next person, and asked, "Joe, do you want a donut?" Joe said, "Yes." And Dr. Christensen asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe can have a donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups. Joe got a donut. And so it went down the first aisle. Steve did 10 push-ups for every person before they got their donut. Well, walking down the second aisle, Dr. Christensen came to Scott. Scott was on the basketball team and in as good a condition as Steve. He was very popular, too, and never lacking for female companionship. Well, when the professor asked him, "Scott, do you want a donut?" Scott's reply was, "Well, can I do my own push-ups?" And Dr. Christensen said, "No, Steve has to do them." Then Scott said, "Well, I don't want one then." Well, Dr. Christensen shrugged and then turned to Steve and asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut he doesn't want?" With perfect obedience, Steve started to do 10 push-ups, and Scott said, "Hey, I said I didn't want one." Well, Dr. Christensen said, "Look, this is my classroom, my class, my desks, and these are my donuts. Just leave it on my desk if you don't want it." And he put a donut on Scott's desk. Now, by this time, Steve had begun to slow down a little bit. He just stayed on the floor between sets because it took too much effort to be getting up and down. You could start to see a little perspiration coming out around his brow. And Dr. Christensen started down the third row. Now the students were beginning to get a little angry. Dr. Christensen asked Jenny, "Jenny, do you want a donut?" Sternly, Jenny said, "No." And then Dr. Christensen asked Steve, "Steve, would you do 10 more push-ups so Jenny can have a donut that she doesn't want?" Steve did 10. Jenny got a donut. By now, a growing sense of uneasiness filled the room. The students were beginning to say no, and there were all these uneaten donuts on the desks. Steve also had to really put forth a lot of extra effort to get these push-ups done for each donut. There began to be a small pool of sweat on the floor beneath his face. His arms and brow were beginning to get red because of the physical effort involved. Dr. Christensen asked Robert, who was the most vocal unbeliever in the class, to watch Steve to do each push-up to make sure he did the full 10 push-ups in a set because he didn't want to bear to watch Steve's work. for all those uneaten donuts. He sent Robert over to where Steve was so Robert could count the set and watch Steve closely. Dr. Christensen started down the fourth row, and during his class, however, some students from other classes had wandered in and sat down on the steps along the radiators that ran down the sides of the room. When the professor realized this, he did a quick count and saw that now there were 34 students in the room. He started to worry if Steve would be able to make it. Dr. Christensen went on to the next person and the next and the next, and near the end of that row, Steve was really having a rough time. He was taking a lot more time to complete each set, and Steve asked Dr. Christensen, "Do I have to make my nose touch on each one?" And Dr. Christensen thought for a moment, "Well, they're your push-ups. You're in charge now. You can do this any way you want." And Dr. Christensen went on. A few moments later, Jason, a recent transfer student, came to the room and was about to come in when all the students yelled in one voice, "No, don't come in here. Stay out." Jason didn't know what was going on. Steve picked up his head and said, "No, let him come in." Professor Christensen said, "Now, you realize that if Jason comes in, you will have to do 10 push-ups for him." Steve said, "Yes, let him come. Give him a donut." Dr. Christensen said, "Okay, Steve, I'll let you get Jason's out of the way right now. Jason, do you want a donut?" Well, Jason was new to the room, hardly knew what was going on. "Yeah," he said, "give me a donut." "Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so that Jason can have a donut?" Steve did 10 push-ups very slowly and with great effort, and Jason, bewildered, was handed a donut and sat down. Well, Dr. Christensen finished the fourth row and then started on those visitors seated by the heaters. And Steve's arms were now shaking with each push-up in a struggle to lift himself against the force of gravity. By this time, sweat was profusely dropping off his face. There was no sound except his heavy breathing, and there was not a dry eye in the room. The very last two students in the room were two young women, both cheerleaders and very popular. Dr. Christensen went to Linda, the second to last, and asked, "Linda, do you want a donut?" Linda said very sadly, "No, thank you." Professor Christensen quietly asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Linda can have a donut she doesn't want?" Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups for Linda. And then Dr. Christensen turned to the last girl, Susan. "Susan, do you want a donut?" And Susan, with tears flowing down her face, began to cry, "Dr. Christensen, why can't I help him?" And Dr. Christensen, with tears of his own, said, "No, Steve has to do it. He has to do it alone. I have given him this task, and he is in charge of seeing that everyone has an opportunity for a donut, whether they want it or not. When I decided to have a party this last day of class, I looked in my grade book. Steve here is the only student with a perfect grade. Everyone else has failed a test, skipped class, and offered me inferior work. Steve told me that in football practice, when a player messes up, he must do push-ups. I told Steve that none of you could come to my party unless he paid the price by doing your push-ups. He and I made a deal for your sakes. Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Susan can have a donut?" As Steve very slowly finished his last push-up with the understanding that he had accomplished all that was required of him, having done 350 push-ups, his arms buckled beneath him, and he fell to the floor. Dr. Christensen turned to the room and said, "And so it was that our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, pled to the Father, 'Into thy hands I commend my spirit,' with the understanding that he had done everything that was required of him. He yielded up his life, and like some of those in the room, many of us leave the gift on the desk uneaten." Two students helped Steve up off the floor into a seat, physically exhausted but wearing a thin smile. "Well done, good and faithful servant. said the professor. Not all sermons are preached in words. Turning to the class, the professor said, My wish is that you might fully understand and comprehend all the riches of grace and mercy that have been given to you through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He spared not his only begotten Son, but gave him up for us all, for the church, now and forever. Whether or not we choose to accept his gift to us, the price has been paid. Wouldn't it be foolish to leave it on the desk? So what is salvation to you? What is it to you? And what is it to me when someone else, out of whatever life they've lived, comes to accept Christ? What is it to me? What it is to me is that I had better be thankful that the gift, the price, it's all for me as well. That I need to step forward and say, yeah, I need that, and God, I thank you for that. What is it to us when something good happens to somebody else? What is it to us when something bad happens to somebody else? What is it to us? You know, in your hymnal, you know, we sang about some stuff, and like I said, it probably could strike me more than it struck you, but praise God for the Holy Spirit's leading on things, because the words said, it may be I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning deserts to those in sinful strife, and though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. What is it to me? But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens beyond the billow's foam, I'll prove my faith in him, confess his judgments fair, and if he stays with me, I'll stay anywhere. So what's it to us that we have missionaries around the world? What is it to us? It is to us that we pray and support them. What is it to us to stay here? It is to us to spread the gospel just as diligently as people do around the world. Why? Because he died for everyone. And, praise God, he died for me. The price has been paid. So I wonder, Isaac, if you could cue that up, here I am to worship thing. Now, we sang it. And I wondered if it would perhaps mean anything different to you. And you don't have to sing it loud. You can, you know, do it as you wish. It's not for show, but I want us to see the words again. Because as it ends, it's going to say, I'll never know how much it costs. I'll never know. But I better understand that it costs something. And I had better appreciate that. And I had better do something about that in obedience. So if that can be brought up, I'll try to sing it.
You step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all kings, oh so high. Glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became born. And here I am. to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Never know, but we need to keep trying. We need to keep doing through obedience those things which will draw us closer to understanding, to comprehension. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Peter wanted to know about his position. And God just, through Christ, just kept saying, feed my lambs. Get out there, be obedient, share the word. But what about, what's it to you? I've already told you what to do. This is for you. And so maybe that applies to the seniors too. You're going to do great things. Don't look to others. Look to what Christ has for you. He's got great things for you to do. So find it out. Find out what it is to you. But above all things, find out what salvation is to you. Find out what it costs. Understand that. Accept the free gift that is available. Don't leave it on the desk. So I'm going to close now. We're going to have our singing and things. But if there be anyone who is touched to want to accept Christ as Lord and Savior today, I'm available. I'm sure elders are available. Your mom, your dad, your friends are available to sit and pray with you. So, blessings to you all. Let's celebrate this day. We're going to have great food later on, great fellowship. The Lord's made a mighty day. Let's be a part of it. Thank you.